Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be. Today's episode of Two Broke Chicks is presented by ShopBack, our go-to to get cash back while we shop. Keep listening to find out how you can use ShopBack to make your money work harder for you and get an exclusive code to get yourself a sweet, sweet sign-up bonus. Hey chicks, I'm Sal.
And I'm Al.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares life lessons and tips to help make you rich in life. And speaking of, in today's episode, we're chatting ways to make your money work harder for you in 2024.
You went like full Kath and Kim on that life. I really liked it.
Life?
Life.
Norse? Look at mine.
Like you rich in life.
Rich. Kimmy.
Kimmy.
There's always a joker in
what?
The back. That's the intro song.
Do you know I've never watched Kath and Kim?
What?
Yeah.
No way.
I know. I think that's a bit rogue, but.
I've heard you say that you're not the biggest fan. But
you need the context of people that like it.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I grew up in a household that didn't vibe it.
Right.
So then I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. My
so
mom
like,
loves
we would never
it.
Watch it because like my family didn't really watch it.
It's so good. I think you'd really like it because it's just
I think
stupid.
I'd like it now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. That's our product work of the week. Just kidding. But before we do get into it, let's start off with our actual product recommendations of the week. And Al had a fun little idea of what we should do for this week.
Okay, so I want our product rec to be what's like the one product in your makeup bag that is like your universal, this is my like one product that I cannot live without, but like the one makeup product that like everyone just needs in their makeup bag that will get you through like everything is a brown lip liner.
Mm.
A brown lip liner does like, I'm going to say, half your makeup for you.
Yeah.
Because you can use it for obviously lining your lips. You can use it as like an eyeliner on the top or like smudge it over your eyelid for like a brown smoky eye. You can also use it as like a nose contour or to do little freckles on your nose, to do your eyebrows. Like there's just, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just a really good way to look at bang for your buck.
Mm, yeah, that's such a good idea.
Mm.
My one is actually a good nude or neutral coloured lipstick that you can also use for kind of a similar purpose.
Mm.
So you can use it on your lips, you can use it on your cheeks, you can use it on your eyes, you can use it as a little bit of a contour for your nose. Because I never thought of using like a MAC lipstick, for example, on my cheeks or my eyes, whereas I'm more than happy to use like a nude sticks 3-in-1 for multiple things. So I don't know why I never thought of that. And then I saw somebody using
Was it Tina Provis on TikTok?
Yes.
Yes.
And I was like, whoa, this has completely changed my life. And because I do wear like a nude lipstick every day, I'm like, I'm going to start doing that.
Yeah.
And it works for that kind of latte makeup look if you really want that sort of monochromatic look.
Do you know
why
it's good though? It's because it makes all your makeup go together.
Mm.
Like it's all really cohesive. So like your blush will and your contour and like your nose contour and your lips, they'll all go together.
Tie together.
And it'll make it look like really, really natural.
Yeah.
Not that your makeup even has to look natural. Like I'm
but
also a big fan of like blue eyeshadow.
Yeah, exactly.
So like, don't get it twisted.
Twisted.
But if you do want to go for like a no makeup makeup look, using like one product on multiple areas is just like the best way to one, get really good bang for your buck, but two, make it look like a orb.
Yeah, love that.
So that's why I want to do that.
Cute. I'm into it.
All right, moving into the episode.
Okay, so our first way to make your money work harder for you in 2024 and beyond, a high interest savings account.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we've touched on this a little bit in previous episodes before, but if you're not familiar or you've never had one before, a high interest savings account is designed to help your savings grow faster because it offers a high interest rate. as you might have guessed from the name, on the amount that you have in your account. So your savings will grow in time with the interest rate, mm-hmm. basically. So sometimes these accounts will reward you with a high interest rate if you don't make any withdrawals from the account, which is also a really good incentive not to touch it. Mm. So if you're that girly that every weekend...
You're transferring from your savings back to your pay.
Yeah, like this could be a really good option for you, because sometimes you won't get the high interest rate if you do withdraw money from the account. And also you're not going to see the higher rewards if you're constantly taking money out of that account too. If it's a really long-term goal, you can also go for a term deposit, which is one that like really locks your money away and you can't get it for sometimes up to like 5 years or something.
I find this scary.
Yeah, but it's good if you're saving for something like a house or a wedding, like a long-term goal.
I think if you're going to have one of those, you still also need to have a separate savings account that has like that emergency fund in it, because if you do need an emergency fund, then you're like, I've got savings, but I can't touch it.
Exactly.
I think my one as well, it also, some of them have like tiered interest.
Yeah.
So you'll get like, this is just an example, you'll get 2% interest if you don't make any transfers out of the account, but you'll get 3% interest if you also transfer money into the savings account.
Yeah.
So like it's, that's what I like, is like those incentives that build you to be a good saver.
Mm.
And then the thing that I do with it is I have a completely separate bank account that is my savings.
Yeah.
And I don't have it logged in on my phone. I don't know what like my customer ID is off by heart. I don't know what my username is, so that I can't be at a bar buying a round of drinks being like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then transferring back and forth.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like it so
is
good. Like,
and the other thing that we've said before is name that savings account what your goal is.
Mm.
Like if it's like $10,000 for Europe, name it $10,000 Europe trip, because then every time you take money out, it gets like lower from that goal.
You know, you're literally taking away from that goal.
Yeah, from your happiness.
Yeah. So these offers and interest rates do change. So it's definitely a good idea to compare your options and see what's available and what is considered a high interest rate at the time. But for example, at the time of this recording, we were comparing a few different high interest savings accounts, and accounts with a maximum variable interest rate of between 4.85% and 5.7% are considered high interest rates.
There's also ones for, you know, those within certain age demographics. Mm. So banks want to onboard like new customers basically. So there's a lot of incentives for people within like a 20-year-old to a 30-year-old age demographic.
Yeah.
It's like young adult or young Australian bank accounts that do offer high interest savings accounts. So look those up on Google.
Similar to what you were just saying, is the high interest rate an introductory offer? So sometimes these will be ongoing, or the high interest rate might be for the first 3 to 6 months, for example. So keep an eye on that, because maybe you do want to take advantage of that for 6 months and then switch to something else, but it's just good to know if it is going to be an ongoing feature. Are there any fees associated with the account that might potentially offset the interest that you're going to be earning in the long run? And can you make withdrawals without losing the interest that month? There may also be some other eligibility requirements, such as depositing money and making a certain number of eligible transactions per month to get that maximum interest rate. So it's just good to know what those are to make sure that you can actually take advantage of that high interest rate offer, and you're not like, oh, actually, well, I'm probably not going to be transferring $1,000 into my savings account every month, so this doesn't line up to me, so I'll go for something else.
Okay. Next one to make your money go further in 2024, in your 20s or whatever age.
Mm-hmm.
Be picky. Be an absolute snob. Like when you were shopping, like I want you to heighten your standards basically, because, and I do think this is something that, you know, we've learned as we've, you know.
Matured.
Let's go with that. I like that.
Everyone's like,
I don't think you've done that yet. I like that magic.
Sorry, that was guttural.
That came from somewhere inside your soul.
It did.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the tea, sis. When we aren't picky, we end up like lowering our standards for things that it's more that impulse shopping, you know? So for an example, say you want to get a pair of winter boots, right? And you know the heel you want. You know like the height of the heel. You know what style of the heel.
Mm.
You know you want a wide calf, speaking for myself.
Yeah.
And like a certain toe. But it's really hard to find that. Or you're like, I just can't, I just can't find that anywhere. So you end up buying a different style that is not what you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You wear it for one winter and then you're probably going to not like it anymore because you will find the one that you liked and you're like, oh, damn, I wish I got that.
Yeah.
Me saying be picky doesn't necessarily mean spend more money. It just means don't compromise on the thing that you wanted.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted a certain item and maybe it is a bit of a higher price tag, so you go for a cheaper alternative and like that's not what you wanted, you're not going to end up keeping that within the next 5 years.
Mm.
Whereas if you save up for the thing that you really did want that maybe has a higher price tag, maybe it doesn't, you're going to actually hold on to that for a lot longer. And what I've found is whenever I was like, oh, do you know what, I'll just get this one because I can get that now, but I can't get that one because maybe it's sold out.
Yeah.
I've kind of ended up buying the one that I wanted in the end anyway later.
Yeah, exactly. Like maybe it will go on sale or you've managed to save up enough money or you just find the perfect item.
Yeah.
I do that all the time. Well, I used to do that all the time with the wrong sizes.
That's what I mean.
Of garments. And I'd be like, that's oh, I mean. But they're sold out in my size. I'll just get the size up and I'll just wear two pairs of socks. And then it's always so uncomfortable, like it doesn't offer any support. And I'm like, I should have just waited.
Exactly what I mean. Yep. Like we'll be like, I really, really want it. So I'm going to get the different color instead.
Yeah.
Like a different shade instead. Or I'll size down or I'll size up. Just try to make it work. And then you're like, cool, this doesn't fit how I want it to. Like if you're going to, if you really want it, for example, and it's like a really beautiful dress for an event and you can size up and you can get it tailored, I get that because you're tailoring it to fit you perfectly.
Which
that's
is good.
Being picky.
Yeah.
That's being picky because you're going and getting it tailored.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly what I mean on compromising on what you wanted / needed. Because of you're like, but I want it now. And I have such an issue with patience.
Yeah.
That has been a thing that I've like just been impatient with spending.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's when you always get the worst buyer's remorse.
Yes.
Which is the worst feeling in the world.
So like increasing your pickiness is going to decrease your buyer's remorse. Put that shit on a shirt. Put it on a shirt right now. We're going to do the rest of the episode in ASMR. Okay, so our next one that we wanted to talk about was renting.
So we've actually got a lot of DMs about this recently, which is why we wanted to address it in this episode especially. But weekly rents have risen by $150 since the start of the pandemic. Throwback. Rent has increased 32% since the start of the pandemic in 2020, according to property analysis firm CoreLogic. I saw this reported by the Daily Oz 3 weeks ago, but Al also had her own rent increase by $100 a week this year, right?
Yeah. So I think we posted about this on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
And quite a few people also sent in recommendations on how to negotiate, which was amazing. Thank you so much. I actually did take a lot of those email stencils on board. I was like, thank you. Copy paste. And we have done an entire episode dedicated to saving on your rent in a rental crisis, like how to save on energy and all that fun stuff. But we wanted to give a refresher on how to negotiate your rent or get your bond back if you do decide to move out. So with negotiating your rent, you want to request to reduce the amount of the increase. I think going in being like, just saying, please don't, like, isn't going to.
Don't be mean.
Just be like, but can we just, like, not? They're going to be like, okay, pack your bags, dude.
Nip.
But maybe asking to meet in the middle and highlighting your perks as a tenant, such as paying rent on time, having a clean home during inspections, etc., is going to really help your case. Some other examples that I included in this email, and you can do so when you are negotiating your rent, is examples of the median rental price of properties advertised in similar areas. I found these on sites like Domain and like realestate.com. Some even showed suburbs and whether they were like increasing or decreasing in value, which I thought was interesting because I can be like, actually, your property don't mean shit. Don't say that. But to be like, the value of this property is not increasing, but you are increasing my rent.
Yeah.
And also no changes or improvements have been made to the home. So it's good to highlight that. Comparing the percentage of increases year on year, highlight any issues to the property, such as lifts being broken, plumbing repairs, etc. It's also really good to try and keep track of these over the term of your tenancy. I didn't do this. And then I was really annoyed at myself that I didn't do this because I wanted to be like, actually,
yeah, like Ellen, Elle Woods. Yeah.
That's not true.
The lift, you know, that's not true.
The lift
Ellen.
Has actually broken 27 times.
Yeah,
so like, and just being like that. You may need to provide leverage in this situation. So saying, okay, we'll sign a lease for 12 months instead of 6 months on a lower amount. And that means that they've got a tenant always paying their rent or paying their mortgage. And then request a more extended notice period before the rental increase applies. So saying, no, you want to do this now, but could we revisit this maybe in like 3 months and you could work out your finances a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
The last resort is that you can apply to the tribunal within 30 days of receiving a rent increase notice, who will consider comparable rents in similar properties and areas, the state of repair and amenities provided. The tribunal has the power to set rent for the next 12 months. But if you do decide to move out because you're like, fuck this, here's how you can get your bond back, especially if your landlord refuses to give you your full bond back. So take it away, Sal.
Take it away, Sal. Okay, so what to ask if your landlord refuses to give your bond back? Firstly, what a jerk. Number one, ask for a list of damages. Number two, ask for a list of quotes for repairs and then cross-check these to see if you can find more affordable options. Number three, ask for receipts. We need the proof here, people.
Proof is in the pudding, baby.
Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes the cost for repairs may not be as expensive as what your landlord is actually quoting you for, and you may be able to compare and find cheaper options.
Yeah. Obviously, if you actually have damaged a property and, like, put your heel through a wall, that's a bit of a different case. That's not what we're saying. But, yeah, I do find that sometimes, and we've heard a lot of stories of people writing in being like, it was literally like a stain the size of a 20-cent coin on the carpet. And they're like, that'll be $5,000.
Yeah, exactly. And like general wear and tear is going to happen in a rental property.
And you aren't actually liable for that, which is always good to know. However, what we didn't know in the last episode with renting is that you can actually apply to get your bond back directly in New South Wales. And I had a quick look, and I believe you can also do it in Queensland and Victoria. But just have a look in your state because it might apply to you as well. Mm-hmm. The bond is like your money. And if you haven't damaged a property, that is within your right to receive that back.
Yeah.
Like a landlord has to prove that you should not be getting your bond back. And so the process may differ state to state, but if you want to apply to get your bond back directly, this is how you go about it. On the Service New South Wales website, it states you can submit your claim using your rental bonds online account. The landlord or agent will be emailed a notice of the claim. You'll receive your refund within 2 working days of their agreeing to the claim. If the landlord or agent doesn't agree with your claim, they have 14 days to apply for your hearing with the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal to contest the claim. If they don't contest this claim within 14 days, the refund amount you claimed will be paid to you. So basically, this means you don't have to go through your landlord to get your bond back. You can go straight to the rental bonds online, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Because I feel like that's where, you know, this issue happens, and it means that there's like a governing body managing it rather than you arguing with your landlord being like, come on, man, that's not true. That
come
didn't
on,
happen,
man.
Ellen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they don't have an agenda either, unlike perhaps your landlord.
Yeah, exactly. I know the landlords are going to be like in the comments saying like,
oh, I'm like, I can't wait.
Sorry. That's the tea. I'm like, if someone's damaged your property, you'll get your money back. It's fine.
Yeah,
that's not
exactly.
What we're saying.
That's not what someone's we're saying.
Don't worry, baby girl. And then the last thing is, with saying that and with those tips, for some people, those tips have worked. For me, unfortunately, when I was negotiating my rent, they just gave a hard no. My landlord would not budge a single step. Sal, however, did the same things, and her landlord did budge when you were negotiating your rent.
Yeah.
So everyone is different. Just because those tips didn't necessarily work for me doesn't mean they won't work for you. Give it a shot. Like, don't just cop it. Like, definitely push back a little bit and just try. And even though my amazing landlord didn't negotiate on my rent, we then understood that we are in a rental crisis, and that when we did decide to move, when we looked around, like, yes, there was cheaper things, but there are things that are non-negotiables of where we want to live.
Yeah.
that we were like, okay, this is amazing. How much would it save us moving to this rent, which is a bit cheaper? Okay, how much would it cost to move? How much would it cost to, you know, get removalists or move all of our stuff and do all of that admin?
Yeah.
Is it better to just stay? And that's like the things that you need to toss up when you're like, okay, do I need to move? You actually need to add up, you know, how much removalists can cost, because they can add up, especially when you're moving a lot of bulky furniture mm-hmm. and things like that. So fun rent vibes.
It is. It's a good time. But yeah. yeah
but I like the bond thing. That's the bit that I was really happy to hear about. I know not all like landlords are evil assholes. I really want to preface with that. That's not the case. But I do think there are, unfortunately, some landlords out there that do not really care about the rental crisis and are really taking advantage of some people at the moment. And so I just pictured those people getting the notification that you've applied for your bond back, being like, this little fuck.
Yeah, being like, damn it.
Like, I love that.
Damn two broke chicks.
Yeah. I would have gotten away with two if it wasn't for you and your damn two broke chicks. These meddling kids and your two broke chicks.
Holy, that's it. Okay.
All right.
Our next tip is actually from today's sponsor of the episode, Shopback.
Whoop, whoop.
Earning cashback is easily one of our absolute favorite
ways. It's our Roman Empire. Hey.
It is. It is.
When we like low it into the ground, I'll be like, I need my cash back.
Yeah, honestly. And it is one of our favorite ways to make our money work harder for us. We both use Shopback, which allows you to get cash back when you use the app or the browser plugin to earn cash back when you shop with over 4,000 partnered brands and retailers.
The deals do vary depending on the partner and any promotions going down. But for example, Sal earns 15% cash back at her local cafe, or you can earn like 3% cash back at the Iconic when we looked at the time of this recording. Some really popular brands sometimes offer up to 30% cash back, and we've also got like 12% cash back on booking.com during an upsize cash back moment as well when we were booking accommodation for a holiday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which really adds up when you're making those big time purchases.
I love it.
Yeah. And you can view your cashback earnings in the app to see how much you've gotten, and then you can redeem it into your bank account that you connects with the app. Shopback is partnered with a lot of popular retailers, including David Jones, New Balance, Amazon, Booking.com, as well as some local cafes and restaurants like we mentioned. So it's a really solid hack to get cash back on the money that you were already going to spend, which is the best part of it all.
We do get a few questions about how it works. So if you are wondering that, or what the catch is, when Shopback drives traffic to their partnered brands, the brands pay them and then Shopback pays you, aka there isn't a catch. So it's a vibe.
Yeah.
So definitely build that into like your habit when you're spending money.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Moving on. Moving on up.
Moving on up.
I'm moving on down. I'm trying to break free because nothing can stop me. I really love us. And I really love musical talents. And
we can't help ourselves, honestly.
Oh, my God, I was telling Sal about on the weekend, I met two chicks in the wild. And chicks,
what did
honestly,
they say?
Here's a fucking saving tip for you. If you see me in a bar, come say hey, because I spent $250 on the weekend buying fucking rounds for people I met.
We told you we'd buy rounds for the chicks.
I literally looked at my bank account the next day and I was like, Alex. But I met chicks at this bar and they were like, oh, my God, hi. And I was like, hello. And
chicks.
I was just so excited. And I was like, come on, let me buy you a drink. And so I spent so much money. And then these two chicks were like, yeah, we booked a karaoke room. So then what do? I gatecrashed their karaoke room. I was like, can I come? And then she's like, yeah. I was like, can my friends come? And I was like, four of my friends with me. And so then we just went into this karaoke room with these chicks that night and we just sang the night away. So, you know what? They got a live rendition.
I was going to say, I was like, where's this going? But I understand now.
Oh, we can sing. I tell you? Dog shit. Absolute dog shit my singing was.
Don't say
I was
that.
There being like, yeah. You know when you can hear like your voice, like your
breaking.
Throat going like all scratchy, but I'm like, nah, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I'm going for the high note. And it's just like a boy turning 12.
It's just Jimmy Barnes.
So, yeah, literally. So, yeah, life hack for you chicks. If you see us in a bar, We're about to be transferring from our savings to our bank account. Just kidding. But yeah, moving on to groceries.
Nice.
Okay.
So we do know that a lot of people are feeling some kind of way about shopping at the big supermarkets in Australia in the current cost of living crisis at the moment. However, if you are still shopping at the two main supermarket chains in Australia, we found a really cool app that helps you find specific items on sale. So it's called the Half Price app, and it's a free app that shows you the top discounts across Coles and Woolworths, which is a really cool tool to build your shopping list around discounted items. So whether or not you're meal planning and whatnot, you can see what ingredients are heavily discounted and be like, okay, well, I guess I'm making bean soup tonight. You know what I mean? Like, build it around that and work backwards from what's on sale.
That's not a joke as well, by the way. We do make a bean soup that is actually really yum.
It's a mean bean soup.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Am I about to get fucked?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yes.
And also pick up like non-perishables in bulk, which I love to do.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Like if toothpaste is on sale, I'm buying 10. Like washing liquid, dishwashing tablets, because all of that shit is so, so expensive and you're never not going to need it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really go off.
Do you know what? You know those people that have, like, bunkers for Armageddon? I get it. Yeah. I get it. And I am becoming one of them.
Yeah.
That have, like, all the fucking rows and rows of, like, beans.
Yeah.
And, like, dishwashing liquid and all that stuff. Because it's whenever you need it that it's never on sale. And you're there, like, in the aisle being like, cool, $50 to clean my dishes for dishwashing tablets. Love that for me.
Yeah, exactly. So fun. But the app updates weekly and you can like the individual items and it saves in like a favorites list that you can then use to create in your shopping list in the app, which I love. I think it's amazing. Super handy. But also on the supermarket websites, they usually have like a discounted items section as well that you can also go into and shop all of the items that are on sale.
Dude, I treat that now like my fucking shopping.
Oh, yeah.
Like 18-year-old me was in like the Princess Polly online shopping section. 28-year-old me is in fucking the half price online sale section of like Woolies and Coles.
Look at this hot deal.
Yeah, being like, look at this hot deal and it's fucking tortillas.
Half price beans.
Half price beans, baby. We did see a really cool method though that you can incorporate into your grocery shopping, which is really good to streamline the process. So you can use the 6-to-1 grocery shopping method. According to health.com, the 6-to-1 grocery method is an approach to cooking that involves picking 6 vegetables, 5 fruits, 4 proteins, 3 starches, 2 sauces or spreads, and 1 fun item.
Oh, wow. Let's do a fun one. I like that little shimmy. Yeah. For anybody who's listening, the fun item comes.
The shoulders are going out. The come dance with mummy shoulders have come out. The purpose is to streamline your shopping experience, promote variety, eliminate food waste, and keep grocery costs lower. And the biggest benefit of using this is to do exactly that. Save money and not have like some wilted moldy spinach in the bottom of your fridge.
It's always that.
I'm not speaking
poor
from experience at all. Or like, you know, when you found a like carrot that was like lost at the back.
That's me.
And it's
I'm that
scary.
Carrot.
Do you know what I don't like finding? The cucumber. Because the cucumber, she gets real soft.
Yeah, she does.
And I'm like,
yeah.
No, not good. So anyway, no more moldy cucumbers. No more flaccid cucumbers in your fridge. But yeah, you can use that if you want. What is wrong with me today?
I don't know.
Moving on.
We're in a kooky mood today. Our next tip to make your money work harder for you in 2024, passive income. If you're not familiar with passive income, it refers to a regular flow of money that requires little ongoing time and effort to earn. It doesn't mean that you're earning money for doing nothing. Typically, it means that you've done the work in the beginning and then you receive like dividends from the work that you initially did in the initial hard work of setting it up. So in the past, traditionally, this would be referred to for like owning a rental property or something like that. But it's 2024 and we're all young chicks listening in. So let's make it something a little bit more
achievable. I want that to be me though.
I know. I would love.
We'll get there one day. Like I want to be 60 and being like,
Yeah, and have like three properties that you bought for two cents in a Fruit Loop back in the 70s.
Fully.
Some more realistic examples of passive income streams in 2024 may include reselling clothes on Depop, eBay, or Facebook Marketplace, renting out your car or a spare room or a parking space if you have one, low-touch jobs that you can do from home, such as voiceover work or copywriting. Number four, creating a product that only needs to be created once, but then you can sell multiple times. So, for example, digital designs, artworks, courses, or ebooks. And also, depending on your strategy, investing can also be considered a form of passive income, which we've covered on a previous episode. We'll link that in the show notes if you want to get into that.
Smash. Okay, and moving on to our last tip to make your money go further. Is we've got two different tips of two ways that we save on beauty. So, Sal, kick us off with yours, and then I'll jump on in.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Our first tip, withdrawing cash to pay for nail appointments or any beauty appointment, really. But I've noticed recently that when I go to get, like, my nails done or my eyebrows done or things like that, beauty services mainly, you can save money off when you pay with cash.
Mm.
So, for example, at my local salon, you can save $5 when you pay for nails with cash. And if you get your nails done every month of the year and get $5 off every time because you're paying with cash, over 12 months, that's a saving of $60, which, depending on where you go, could be like a full set or an infill.
It also depends on how often you get your nails done. Mm.
If you're getting them done fortnightly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's something that usually I'd be like, oh, I can't be bothered. Like, I'm not going to go get cash out. I never have cash.
Mm.
But there's always an ATM nearby. So I just duck into that, get the cash out for the money that I'm already going to spend and then save $5.
Of effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which really adds up.
My favorite one that I've been doing recently is embracing at-home beauty salons. So all I literally did to find these salons was look up eyebrows and my suburb. And then you can find all these places. So it saves you so much money in the long run. There was a chick that I found who has an at-home salon that does facials, like deluxe facials, including like a massage and microneedling for $130.
That's
which
so
if you
good.
Go to a salon would cost you between $350 to like $600.
Mm.
And then my eyebrow chick, who is like also now one of my friends, is like for an eyebrow lamination, it's $60 for a lamination, a wax and a tint.
Wow.
Which is just amazing. And I think I found her only in like the last month and I just enjoy spending time with her too. And then I also found another one who does blow dries for $40.
What?
$40.
That's so
good. I was like, I'm about to be at your house every week. Not really, because, you know, we're trying to save. But it's good to know if you've got like a really fancy event coming up that you're like, okay, I'm going to go book in to do that. Or if you're a blonde girly and need to, you know, book in for those and you're trying to save, you know, you could go do that.
Yeah, that's such a good idea. Love.
I love that. But yeah, so that is all our tips. Let's get into our life advice with the chicks. I'm in need of desperate help. Okay, let's go. I recently moved to Melbourne about 4 months ago and I absolutely love it. I live with a housemate who I'd consider as a best friend. I love my job. I have created a healthy routine such as cooking, journaling, reading, etc. Slay. I'm honestly the happiest I've ever been. However, my housemate and I sort of drink a lot.
Shit, did I write this?
We will drink every weekend and a few times a night during the week. It's nothing crazy, only a few glasses of wine together, more on the weekend. And I seem to find myself feeling so guilty for doing so. And I think it's because alcohol obviously isn't good for you. I know it's known as a depressant. I need advice on am I being too hard on myself and should enjoy being in my 20s, living in Melbourne with my bestie, having a few drinks during the week, or am I just making excuses to make myself feel better and should probably cut down on the drinking? Thank you so much for listening to me. Never stop what you're doing. I love the podcast.
Love you.
Thank you.
So sweet.
Okay. I don't know if everyone's going to agree with my advice here, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Mm.
I think have fun. Like, you're in your 20s because this isn't going to be forever.
Yeah.
You're not going to be acting or behaving like you are in your early 20s, living with your best friend in a city you love, in a job that you love, doing what you love forever. Now, there is like a certain, you know, time limit. You can't can't do this forever.
Yeah.
I think it's good to have that and everything in moderation as well.
Mm.
Like, that's really important. But I did this for like a year with my best friend until she moved to New Zealand. And it was the best year of my life. Like, it was so fun. Sorry, I should say one of the best years of my life. There's been many good ones. But it's definitely up there. Like, Sid and I will always, always talk about how good that year was. Like, we will be like, oh, we just didn't appreciate it when we were in it. Like, and we did because we just had so much fun together. But I don't know. I think maybe don't overthink it. Like, enjoy yourself, and then maybe if you're like, okay, a little bit of moderation, you can do that. Mm. You just make the decision. Don't overthink it too much. Just be like, okay, do you know what? Tonight I'll pass, but let's have drinks on the weekend.
Yeah.
And you will get to that. There was a point that Sid and I got to that we were like, we can't do this anymore. No more wine. Like, Sid literally was like, I can't look at a bottle of rosé, Al. And I was like, yeah, same.
Yeah. I feel like the more that you do it, sometimes you realize, you know, saving it for special occasions makes it even more fun when you do decide to drink. But I think that if you are asking these questions and feeling enough guilt in your words, I'm not saying that you should feel guilty, but if this is what you're feeling, enough that you've decided to write into a podcast, it is something that you could potentially look at. Well, how can we have fun during the week without alcohol? What are like some fun alcohol-free things that I can do that I'm still taking advantage of that time where I'm young and living out of home with my friend in like a dream city, dream job? And there are so many things that if you move in with a partner or if you decide eventually to get married and have a family that you won't be able to do that you could do when you were, you know, living with a friend. If that's like literally being like, do you want to go to the movies tonight? Like, sadly, you can't really just drop everything and decide to do that, you know, if you've got young kids running around. So I think you could potentially try swapping out some of these nights where you're having a few glasses of wine together during the week for some alcohol-free activities that are still really fun and still encourage you and your friend to spend time together and see how that feels. If you do that and be like, oh, actually, I do like doing this and maybe saving having some drinks on the weekend and I feel like I've got a little bit more balance, then you can try doing that. Like, I think, you know, don't be too hard on yourself, like Al said, but you also are free to change things up and try, you know, different hobbies and activities and try and achieve, you know, a little bit more balance if you feel like that's going to make your relationship with drinking a little bit better for you, because it really is an individual thing.
Yeah. And I mean, you've said you feel like you've got a really healthy routine. Like, you're cooking, journaling, and reading. So just, you're in your 20s, living with your best friend. Just go have fun. It's all good.
Thanks again to Shopback for making today's episode of Two Broke Chicks possible. If you haven't already, sign up to Shopback at the link in the show notes and use our code TWOBROKECHICKS to get a $20 sign-up bonus.
Thanks to you, Chicks, for having us in your ear holes. We absolutely love to be here. And thank you to MIK Made for making today's episode possible. Don't forget to download today's episode and leave a comment on Spotify for your chance to win a sneaky little $50 voucher.
A sneaky little voucher. Not a voucher. A sneaky little voucher. Anyway. Bye, Chicks.
Bye.
Love you.
Say bye. Bye.